2017 ACUC in lovely Las Vegas, and they're clapping for you already, Ryan.
I think there are people having fun at the craps table.
Already?
Absolutely.
All right. It's like what? Oh, 10 o'clock?
A.m., yeah.
People gambling already. Good for them. Hey, we're talking about advocacy. We're going to advocate not gambling, but credit unions. Right. What's the latest? What's going on here, Ryan?
Well, Mike, that's like a loaded question. There's so much going on.
I could imagine.
You know, our campaign for common sense regulation is in full stride. Mm-hmm. We have had a terrific response from credit unions to our membership activation program. That's our program that encourages credit unions to talk directly to their members and get them involved in our advocacy mm-hmm. efforts. And as a result of that, we've seen just in the first 6 months of the year, we've gotten a bill through the House of Representatives that is a comprehensive regulatory relief bill. Doesn't have everything that we'd like in it. It's got some things that we don't like in it, but there's enough that addresses our concerns that we felt it was important to get it through the House of Representatives, and now we're working in the Senate to try to get something that will become law. And okay. So the universe of things that we're looking at in this process are things like structural changes to the CFPB to improve the rulemaking process, which has really been one size fits all and rigged in favor of the large banks. So that's one universe of issues that we're okay. working on. And then the second is getting Congress's help to address some technical concerns that we've got with rules that the CFPB has finalized over the last several years, like the remittance rule, the qualified mortgage rule, the HMDA rule, and TILA-RESPA rule. You know, in these cases, they've set thresholds that are too low that mean that small credit unions, and frankly, mid-sized credit unions too, are having to comply with the same types of rules that Bank of America and Wells Fargo.
Oh, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, we think that credit unions have done a fairly good job of protecting consumers over the last 100 years. So what sense does it make to make it more difficult for mm-hmm. them to do that? Mm-hmm. That's not common sense. Mm-hmm. What we're seeking is common sense regulation.
Right. I mean, I get the rules. I get the regulations. They're there for a reason to keep things in check and that type of stuff. But come on, when you're comparing, you know, a $50 million credit union to a B of A, that's not kosher.
And so one of the ways that we've sort of driven this point home with Congress is we said, hey, listen, guys, listen to what you're hearing from us compared to what you're hearing from Bank of America and Wells Fargo. Bank of America and Wells Fargo are not on Capitol Hill complaining about the rules because they've got armies of attorneys that are capable of helping them comply with it, right? What they're concerned about is they're concerned about the supervision and the enforcement that's costing them tens of millions of dollars every year, right? Credit unions are concerned about the rules because every time there's a rule change, it costs them money. They've got to figure out how to, if it applies to them, how to comply. They've got to train their staff. They've got to change their forms. They've got to engage their members on the change. A lot of times that means they're doing things slower than they used to in a manner that's more expensive. Mm-hmm. And that has real member impact. All for rules that are being changed because the big banks and the non-bank providers abused consumers 10 years ago. It's not fair. And frankly, it's not in the interest and it's not consistent with what I think a lot of folks in Congress want to see, which is a thriving credit union system and a thriving system of community financial institutions.
The word stifling comes to my mind when you're talking about that.
We used to call it the crisis of creeping complexity. And I think that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Because it just gets
absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Where do we go from here? I mean, obviously, your guys' efforts are tremendous. What can we do?
So we've got a lot of things on our side. So we've got the bill that passed the House, which is a good start. The administration put out a proposal or a report a couple of weeks ago. And, Mike, we had 20 credit union CEOs meet with the Treasury Department in April. We've had a number of follow-ups with the Treasury Department. We've had engagement with the White House. That report that the Treasury Department put out about beginning of June I'm not sure how it could have been more reflective of our concerns, more understanding of the concerns that we've expressed. And there's a lot that they can do by regulation to help alleviate this. So it's a good ally to have in our corner. Okay. Now on Capitol Hill, we're in a process in the Senate where Chairman Mike Crapo of Idaho and Ranking Member Sherrod Brown of Ohio are doing something that I think is really novel but important. Mm-hmm. They're approaching this in a bipartisan way.
Oh.
So they started a process, and yeah, I know, it's surprising.
I almost fell out of my chair, Ryan.
Almost refreshing. They started a process in March or April where they asked stakeholders for ideas for economic growth. And so we submitted some ideas, and then Dallas Burgill, who's on our CUNA's board, testified before the Senate Banking Committee earlier this month. They've done another hearing with the mid-sized banks and a third hearing with the regulators. What we're hoping is that they're going to put together a bipartisan piece of legislation that might start to address some of this regulatory burden. Now, I'll be straightforward here. We should have modest expectations about what that bill is going to look like. It may take a few steps to get to exactly where we are. As I've told you before, this is a process, not an event. But it's important to keep the process moving. Even if we're not able to get everything that we'd like to see in this Senate bill, we're going to keep working on it through the process. And then when the process is over, we'll encourage even more.
Incremental.
Well, you've got to do that because we're in an environment right now where Congress is paralyzed. There's nothing more precious in Washington than time on the Senate floor. And in order to get to the Senate floor, you've got to have more than 60 votes, and you've got to have a piece of legislation that's compelling. And that's the obstacle or the challenge right now.
Gosh, you guys, I mean, the job that you do and kind of navigating all of this, you know, it's just tremendous how what you guys do, you know.
It's a passion. And I mean, I always tell folks that ask me, well, how can you lobby? And I say, well, I lobby for the credit unions and I can sleep at night. You know, we lobby for a lot of other organizations, but the credit unions are special because we're member owned. We're not for profit. We operate cooperatively. And it's a good group to represent in Washington. I also think that we just happen to be on the right side of these issues. If you look at the regulatory scheme that credit unions operate under today, there's a fundamental unfairness to it. It is fundamentally unfair to ask a $250 million credit union to comply with the same rules as a $1 trillion bank.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness. All right, I'm going to wrap up here because you have a very busy show. Where do we go from here? I mean, I think this is my wrap-up question with you every time, but it's always a different answer.
We need credit unions to stay engaged. Okay. We need them talking to their members. We have a program called the Membership Activation Program. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit misnamed. We should have called it the Membership Education Program, but MAP sounds better than MEP. But here's the essence of the program. Here's the essence of the program. It starts with this premise that there's no one more invested in the success of credit unions than credit union members, right? And if those that are invested in the success of credit unions aren't advocating for credit unions, who will? So what we do through the membership activation program is we give credit unions the tools to talk to their members about advocacy issues and then ask them to take action. It's critically important that credit union members are educated about these issues. Because if you just ask them to take action, they're not going to do it if they don't know anything about
exactly.
it. So we've got a number of tools that we use to help credit unions have that conversation and give guidance on when to take action. So I'd encourage credit unions that are interested in this, cuna.org/map.
Okay.
There's a lot of information there.
Yeah, the power in numbers, big time.
Absolutely.
When you can engage your members to spread the message as well, oh my goodness, that's a really powerful thing.
No, absolutely. If we've got 110 million credit union members in the United States, and if we start tapping them, we'll be the most powerful organization system in the country.
Great message to end on. Ryan, thank you so much,
absolutely.
As always.